Sunday Manna Bible Study. We are here waiting for you. Come on in. We're looking for you.
Well, we praise God for each of you. Truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're certainly grateful for God allowing us to see this day. Here it is, the 12th day of June, and I tell you, June is going by rapidly, but we thank God for how he's included us in his plan for this month and for this day, and we have to take it one day at a time, but we give him praise, honor, and glory, and we certainly hope that each of you are having a fantastic day. Let us know you're getting a clear signal. Somebody let us know that the signal is clear as we prepare for this time together tonight, and we thank God for each of you. It's been a while, hasn't it, Lady Kemp, since we've been on.
A couple of weeks now,
but we've been busy, and we'll share a little bit about what is we have been doing over the last couple of weeks since we have not been on. But let's start with a word of prayer. Look like we got a clear signal, and we praise God for each of you. Let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for tonight's study. God, we bless you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence, and we're grateful for another day that you have allowed us to see. Now, God, we pray that even as we have gathered in this virtual space, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't remember where we were the last time we were together, a couple of weeks ago we did an introduction to 2 Chronicles, and tonight we're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, and I believe there's about 17. How many verses are there? There are about 17 verses there.
I think so. Let's see.
17 or 18 verses, but we're going to cover that tonight. But as we indicated, it's been a week or so since we've been on, but we have been busy. We've had a full plate at the church. We didn't get a chance, I don't think, to talk about Big Dre's barbecue cook-off, but that was excellent. And then we went right from that to our vacation Bible school, and then we had our movie night, and we continued with our worship experiences around all of those events, and God continued to show himself strong on our behalf. And so it's not because of us, but it's because of him. And so we thank God for including us in his plan, and we're certainly grateful for how he continues to bless us even in spite of ourselves. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Yes.
And so do you want to comment on any of those items that I just mentioned? And maybe we'll start anywhere you'd like to lay down, talk about any of those items, Big Dre's, vacation Bible school, movie night, and then we'll talk a little bit about the worship experience on
Amen.
Yesterday.
I certainly would like to talk about those things. And I want to talk about them because they would not be possible without all of the volunteers, the dedicated people that work so hard to make sure those things take place. We could certainly not do it alone.
That's right.
And so we, you know, try to get in on some of the planning of those things, but it's mostly because of the dedicated volunteers from Anointed Temple of Praise that those events are able to be successful. Mm-hmm. So we're thankful for the Williams family. Andre, who Big Dre's is affectionately named after. He was a cook, a character, and he just loved people, and he loved to cook, and he loved to crack jokes. So
that's right. Absolutely.
We loved Andre, and because of his big personality, we like to do things in a big way for Big Dre's barbecue in his honor and in his memory. And so we thank God for that. And then we went right into Vacation Bible School. And again, we had dedicated workers for that also. Miss Amelia, Miss Georgia Rucker, Brother DeJuan Whitmore. Oh, I shouldn't start calling names.
You shouldn't do that, because you're going to definitely leave out
I'm going to leave out somebody.
Excellent teachers and presenters.
Yes, the teachers were fantastic.
Great numbers all week.
Yes.
And record then, numbers, I believe, Sister Rucker said.
Okay, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yep. Then, like you said, we went right into movie night. And again, so many workers. And I was so pleased to see our young people participating on movie night and volunteering to help with movie night, helping set up and break down and do concessions. So we just thank God for all that transpired. And then,
well, before you move from movie night, that was probably our best attended mm-hmm. movie night that we've had. And this has been, I believe, about the fourth time.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers were great. It was almost like drive-in movie night, and people were in their cars, people had their lawn chairs, people were sitting out, hot dogs and
nachos,
popcorn, sodas. Mm-hmm. We had the works, and so it was the weather was great, the movie was great, and what was the name of that movie?
Super Mario Brothers.
That's right.
It's a video game that the kids love to play.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a movie now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we really had a great time with that. And it seemed to me that all of those who were able to come out enjoyed that as well.
Yes. And then we moved on into Sunday. And we had a great time in the Lord on Sunday. As our pastor continued his sermon, Winning After a Major Loss, the second part to Winning After a Major Loss. And this time, he came from Psalms, the 147th chapter, at the third verse. Amen. It just that one verse, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the broken heart mm-hmm, and binds mm-hmm, up their mm-hmm. wounds. And so there were a couple of points that you mentioned in your sermon.
Okay. All right. You're going to tell us about it, but you want me to jump in?
Well, you can jump in whenever you want, but I'll tell you the points.
This is a series, and I don't know if it's going to continue, but whenever I have a part two, usually there's a part three to follow. But just kind of, the Lord was dealing with me around that issue of how many times when people go through various situations in their lives, Lady Kim, and they start stacking up and counting the losses. And many times they get stuck there and never able to move forward. And oftentimes the enemy will use that as a trap, so that you won't experience the fullness of what God has for you. And so I just wanted to encourage people and let them know that they can win. You know, winning is in your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And each of those sermons were targeted to help people with some nuggets, if you will, in terms of how they can come out and overcome and be more than conquerors, even in the face of what seems like loss. God has given them a winning hand.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And your first point was that we must position ourselves to accept what didn't happen.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes as believers, we want certain things, or we have in our minds the way we want things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we have to accept what didn't happen and move forward
That's right.
And we have to remember who God is.
Absolutely.
You know, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. So when we encounter a major blow in our lives, and we're knocked off track, then we have to remember who God is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That God is a God of mercy. He's a God of love. You said he'll never leave us. He'll never let us down. He'll never let us go. He'll never leave us where we are.
And he loves us too much to leave us where we are.
All right.
That's right. So even in that one verse, it says he heals the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. And what is the other part of it?
And binds up their wounds.
And binds up their wounds. And, you know, a lot of us have experienced a broken heart, and many times we don't overcome because we're stuck there. And we keep bringing up the fact that we can get stuck in situations that didn't go our way, and we start reminiscing and not moving forward. And we know that misery indeed loves company. And so you'll find yourself attracting the same people that you are dealing with in terms of your behavior about what you're going through. And so you have to be positive in the midst of a negative situation. And you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you, and that he will mend the broken heart and he will bind up those wounds. And all of us have wounds that we have had from past experiences and past situations and past relationships. And sometimes that wound, Lady Kim, is so deep, if it's not attended to, it can cause serious damage to the whole body. But God gives us a word of encouragement in that psalm to let us know that he will bind up and he will mend those wounds that we have. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen. And we have to let God do a work in us.
That's right.
We have to let God heal us. We have to take time, pull back, and take time to watch God work. You said in that sermon, God has given us new mercies.
New mercies. That's right.
And with each new mercy, with each new day, we have to take time to heal from our brokenheartedness.
That's right.
Because if we don't heal from our brokenness, then we bleed over on other people. What we bleed on other people. Mm-hmm. That means that the sourness of that experience, mm-hmm. We allow to go into other situations.
Okay.
And so we have to be careful. And take time out to experience God's new mercy in our lives and allow him to heal us from our brokenness.
That's good. And I think God wants us to share our testimony about how he's brought us out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't allow him to heal us, then many times we will still be wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And we will still be bleeding instead of blessing.
Mm.
And so we have to be mindful of that. And it's good to see each of you on tonight. We're just giving a little review of what we have experienced the last, couple of weeks at ATOP. And it has indeed been an exciting time. We've started this series, Winning After a Major Loss. And we certainly hope that that's been a blessing. And we'll see what the Lord says this Sunday as we prepare to celebrate Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't stop after the sermon on yesterday. We continued and we went to celebrate with our tallest, Timothy. I believe he's on the call tonight, Pastor Marquise McPherson, as he celebrated on yesterday his third anniversary as the proud pastor of the New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Come on, somebody give God some praise and some thumbs up. And so we had a great time on yesterday afternoon. And I tell you, we're always excited to be able to go over and fellowship and be a part of whatever they are doing, and to show our appreciation and support for how Pastor Marquise really helped us at ATOP, and he was one of the leading forces in terms of making sure that vision and mission went forth as we set the vision and the mission for the house. He had a lot of responsibility in terms of making sure that people understood what the pastor was trying to get done, and we are certainly grateful for his ministry at ATOP, and we praise God for what he's doing at New Bethel. I was thinking about our church down in Greenville, and you made reference to that in your introduction, but we're certainly grateful for him. And I got an interesting text after, you know, we were trying to get out of there because the weather was turning kind of bad yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he texted me afterwards to let me know that they were in the process of rebuilding and doing some visioning for the future. And I didn't know that before the sermon. And so we were just kind of sharing with them some tips in terms of what they need to be mindful of and understand how the enemy will really get busy when you start trying to do a work for God. We looked at that passage in, what was that? You're going to help me, Reverend? Are you not?
I can't help you with that.
Zechariah. And where the passage says, it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I was thinking about Nehemiah because I referenced Nehemiah in similar situation where Nehemiah was doing a great work and
couldn't come down
from the wall, and people were trying to have him to come down, and the enemy was trying to confuse the plan of God. But he continued to do a great work. And so I just laid out a couple of tips to encourage them and to encourage ATOP members, because we had a full house on yesterday. And I praise God for those who were able to come and those who were able to be there and participate in the third anniversary of our tallest Timothy, Pastor Marquise McPherson. Come on, y'all give some thumbs up, some more thumbs up for how much we appreciated and enjoyed yesterday. Brother Andrew, good to see you on tonight. And we praise God for my good friend, Dr. John Tunstall, all the way in Los Angeles, California. He's on tonight. Brother Martez, good to see you as well. And we praise God for each of you who are on this call live. And Sister Georgia Rucker, of course, our superintendent of Sunday school. It's been a busy couple of weeks, and that was just with what we were doing, but all of the planning that goes into it, it's not so much, it's not always just what you might call physical weariness, but it's also mental stress and strain that has to go into the planning to make things happen. We know we serve an excellent God, and we want to give God our very best. And as you've already indicated, Lady Kim, we have some of the best volunteers and workers. I tell you, you can't just limit it to Memphis, I don't believe. Mm-mm. You gotta spread that out a little bit. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Because they just rise to the occasion. And,
every time.
And we want to just do more for them. We're going to just have something special for our volunteers just to show our appreciation. We can't say how much we appreciate and love y'all. And not only did we have the afternoon service at New Bethel, and not only did we have the service that morning at ATOP, there was something else that happened in between all of that. And you don't want to mention that, but you celebrated a birthday.
Oh.
And the people wanted to just express to you how much they appreciated you. Mm-hmm. Even though your birthday was last Thursday, mm-hmm. this was the Sunday yesterday that the people got an opportunity to just hug you and give you cards and share words of encouragement and words of expression. And you are just coming off, Lady Kim, a major eye surgery.
Yeah.
And are you blinking at me, or are you seeing better? Which one is
both.
It?
I'm both. I'm waking up.
All right. See, they're going to get on me for trying to mess with you, so I'm not going to say nothing. But no.
They got my back.
That's right. They got you. This
you
is
got
your
my
show.
Back in another
that's
way.
Right. I got you. This is your show, and I'm just sitting next to you. But no, seriously, Lady Kim, you know, the people really wanted to respond, and they did, and to show their appreciation and their love for you and for the first family. And but it was your day, and we had a rich experience on Saturday and going to a new restaurant, and then Also, we had a rich experience in between when the service was over. We went and had ice cream and cake. And mm-hmm. you, I believe you took some cake with you to work.
I did, and they tore that cake up.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Did you get a chance to taste it?
I did. Okay. I sent an email out and said they were welcome to cake in the break room.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in there about, when I got there about 8:15, I put it in the break room. And about 10:30, I went around, and over half the cake was gone. So
that's good. That's good.
Because so
we couldn't have eaten that by ourselves. Mm-hmm.
We had cake in the refrigerator another cake that was given. So I'm just thankful, for the love and for everyone extending their birthday wishes and love towards me.
All right. So you're 55 again?
Double nickels again.
Okay. So this is about how many times?
As many times as I want to hold it. That's where I'm going to hold, okay?
All right. Well, happy birthday. Those of you who didn't know, Lady Kim's birthday was Thursday of last week. And you can just send her a shout out if you want to, if you didn't get an opportunity to do that. But we just wanted to give a little recap and talk about what we have experienced, and we're going to jump right into this first chapter of Second Chronicles. That's where we're going to land today. But this is a very interesting chapter. We know that Solomon is now king. He's leading the building of the temple, and he's organized. He's gotten everything in order. His dad, David, has passed off of the scene. That happened at the end of First Chronicles. Mm-hmm. And so now Solomon is in the process of making sure that he has everything in place and he's established everything that's necessary in order for him to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that happened before he started to move into his era of success, or his highlight of his life and his ministry, if you will, and his leadership, was that he consulted with God. And he had a very different request, I would say, from what many people might have asked. If God were to ask you, what is it that you want?
Mm-hmm.
We would probably look at things. We would probably look at riches. We would probably look at having the Lord to hold back the hand of the enemy, or maybe even to prevent the enemy from trying to overtake us. He had a lot of options in front of him in terms of what he could have asked God for. And we're going to read these verses here in a few minutes, but we'll see how the wisdom that he asked for really opened the door for what he was really needing and what he may have desired. But he shows us, I believe, in this particular chapter how important it is for us to prioritize,
mm-hmm.
and to put first things first.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he were to have a list, I think that he went about it the right way in terms of prioritizing what was the greater of the many things that he could have asked for, but he put God first in the midst of that.
And I think that's a lesson for us.
That's right.
He didn't ask for wealth, mm-hmm. you know, because most of the time you say, if you could ask God to grant you anything, what would it be? Most
right.
people would say that I would be a millionaire.
Right.
I would have a lot of money.
Right.
Or, you know, wealth is the first thing that most people would say, or that I would want to be healthy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a Solomon
has great influence.
Yes, great influence. Mm-hmm. So be the most powerful person
right.
in the world, you know.
Have the finer things of life.
But Solomon said
that I need wisdom to lead your people.
Wisdom.
Isn't that
mm-hmm.
something?
That's something.
That's powerful. As a result of that, God blessed him and
mm-hmm.
said, here you go, because we see your heart is pure and we understand that you're trying to please me. And I think, like you said, that's a lesson for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we put first things first, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. all these other things, here it is, shall be added unto us. Mm-hmm. And even though that was not there when Solomon made his request, it really falls right in line with what Matthew 6:33 tells us, because he sought wisdom. He put first things first.
Amen.
And that's going to be important. For those of you who are perhaps listening and you are seeking God for direction and you are asking for some things and you haven't aligned yourself with the vertical relationship and made sure that that's a priority, it could even be a relationship that you're asking God to help you with. But seek him first. Make sure the vertical is in order and the horizontal relationships will align themselves with that.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Anything else you want to add as we
prepare? No, I think that's a good intro for tonight's chapter one in Second Chronicles.
Okay. All right. You are you able to lend us your reading ability?
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
How many verses would you like me to read?
Well, there are, 18,
17?
So mm-hmm. Let's maybe do the first 12.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We're in 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, beginning at verse 1. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom. For the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, to the judges and to all the leaders in Israel, the heads of families, and Solomon, the whole assembly, went to the high place at Gibeon.
Mm-hmm.
For God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the wilderness. Now David had brought up the ark of God from Kireth-Jearim to the place he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired of him there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have."
Wow, isn't that powerful?
Yes.
That's rich, isn't it? Because Solomon, well, God allowed him to make a request.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon was clear in terms of his answer. He wanted to make sure, because God had already blessed him tremendously, and he had also seen how he had blessed his dad. But he wanted to make sure that he would be able to govern the people that he was in charge of,
mm-hmm.
and have the kind of wisdom that was necessary in order for him to succeed. Isn't that powerful?
That's awesome.
And so, what do you think, Lady Kim? You think you would have wanted wisdom, or you would have asked for?
Well, you know, in hindsight, now that I have this scriptural text in front
mm-hmm.
of me, you know, and I see how God blessed Solomon, I would ask for wisdom. Because if you have wisdom and knowledge, then you know how to gain power. You know how to gain wealth. You'll know how to, you know, you'll know how to treat people.
Right.
You'll know how to lead people. So, yes, I before I read this text, you know, then no, I would not I would have probably asked for riches.
Okay. Okay. Well, and so, like you said, in hindsight, it's possible for us to really kind of hone in, zero in, if you will, on how important that was for Solomon in terms of the responsibility that God had placed upon him, and how important it is for us to make sure that we govern, particularly leaders, that we govern accordingly, and that we do it in a way that brings glory and honor to God, and that we don't get so caught up in trying to make decisions in and of ourselves until we lose sight of the fact that we have to consult with God about what it is he would have for us to do. And so I think, like you said, looking at it in hindsight, that probably would have been the best thing. And as a result of what God saw that he asked for, then God began to share with him what he was going to do for him, because he saw his heart. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Yes, he does.
And so it's obvious from this text that his heart was in the right place, and he was not over excited about, you know, him trying to lord over and rule people and fashion himself in a way where he was on display showing all that he had as a result of the new responsibility that was placed upon him.
Okay.
All right. Well, any comments there? And we haven't been on in a while, so we having a few things. This is a new
streaming
situation that we have. And thank you, Lady Kim, for that. But we're going to continue to move forward. Is everybody still getting a clear signal? And you still, are y'all hearing us fine? Just let us know.
Not the other platform. They're saying they're getting in and out on the other platform. But thank God for the Facebook side. Amen.
All right, I believe we left off at verse number 13. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you saying about the other platform, Lady Kim? Because we need to know. I didn't know what you were saying.
Well, they just said it was, someone said that they were kicked out a couple of times and they were trying to get back in.
Okay, all right. Well, let's pick it up at verse number 13, and we do apologize for the technical difficulties, and we hope that you're able to finish this time with us tonight. People are saying we're hearing and getting a good signal on this side. But Second Chronicles, the first chapter, Lady Kim has already read verses 1 through 12, and we just talked about how Solomon requested wisdom. In the latter verse, verse number 12, the Lord told him that since you requested wisdom and knowledge, is granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have this like that. And so that's powerful, isn't it? He became known as the richest man to ever live.
That's right.
The wealthiest man, right? And because of what he asked for, it had a lot to do with what God gave him as a result of, it was a humble request, but God just, boom, here you go, take that.
Put some gravy on them potatoes.
That's right, that's right.
Icing on that cake.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's pick it up in verse number 13, And there are only 17 verses here, and we'll go ahead and finish reading the remaining verses that we have in the...
All right. They said they're clear on the app side now, so we're good.
Okay.
All right. Verse number 13, we're in 2 Chronicles, the first chapter. Then Solomon went to Jerusalem from the high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities, and also with him in Jerusalem. The king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt, and the Cute. The royal merchants purchased them from Cute at the current price. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver,
mm-hmm.
and a horse for 150. They also exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the Armenians.
That's it?
That's it.
That kind of ended this, letting us know that there's much more to come after
much
this.
Much more to come, and that they spent a whole lot of cheddar on them horses, chariots. They amassed so much gold. They said that right. gold, they had gold, and that gold was so plentiful, it was just like a rock on the ground.
That's right.
And man, so, he had some bank.
They were rich. They were rich in things, and he was rich in wisdom. He had the resources necessary in order to do what was needed in terms of building the temple, in terms of making sure that he had the best of the best,
mm-hmm.
and God granted that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing when you put God first, God will take care of you. Isn't
yes,
that right?
He will. He's promised.
He's promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
That's
he said
it.
He'd be with us
always,
even until the end. And so this is just kind of concluding this first chapter. But as we said earlier, perhaps for those of you who are not able to join us, we see that Solomon gets everything that he desired. He put first things first. It's a powerful lesson for us as believers, even today, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto us. He didn't request the easy things first. He didn't request the fun things, nor the urgent things, or the hard things. But first things first, instead, he chose to seek wisdom so he could glorify God.
Amen.
And so it is how we should be even in our lives today. And I believe God will honor that. I believe God, and particularly when we're not trying to get all we can all we get, and sit on the can, and then use it as a public display of look at me, look at what I have, and look how God has blessed me. But we praise God for this example that we have in terms of how Solomon, and we hope that many of us will take heed to that as well. You have some comments in the
chat? Brother Martez says, from 1988 to 2023, God has never failed him. He is a friend above all others.
That's it. That's it. Dr. John Tunstall said Solomon was living large.
Yes, he was living large and in charge.
So this is a good example for us. And what are some things you can kind of share with us, Lady Kim, that would kind of help bring closure to this first chapter, even though it's going to continue in the second chapter as we talk about next week, Solomon preparing to build this temple?
Well, I think the underlying factor here, or the lesson for us, that we need to seek God's wisdom first before mm-hmm. making any decisions.
Okay.
You know, when we accept an assignment, you know, even before accepting the assignment, we need to ask God to lead us and guide us and show us which way to go. And as we accept our assignment, we need to ask for his wisdom and guidance and direction as we go. You know, Solomon made offerings, and God says, what do you want? And Solomon said, wisdom to rule his people. And so Solomon was able to rule over Israel and rule well over Israel.
Okay, okay. All right, well, you're absolutely correct. And so our time is kind of about to come to a close. We have some other comments there as you
want. Yes, Dr. Olu said that when we please God, he opens the floodgates of blessings.
Okay, okay, that's good. He opens the floodgates of blessings when we please God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that's a valuable lesson right there, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, okay. He'll open up the very windows of heaven,
mm-hmm,
and pour us out blessing that there should not be room enough to receive. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we seek his face and put him first, and God will take care of us.
He will. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us always.
Even until the end.
Even until the end.
That's right.
And always means.
Always.
Always.
Yeah. Well, Lady Kim, let's just open it up for any prayer requests or any praise reports. And then we can talk a little bit about our first leadership module that will start this Thursday with our Institute for Leadership Training. And there might be some even on the call tonight who are perhaps haven't registered. I think we have about 17, maybe 18 people who are registered. And we're excited about that. We're going to do four modules. Is it four or five? It's
four.
Leadership, is discipleship, stewardship, outreach, and evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last module will be a combination of the outreach and evangelism. And there will be workshops in between. And we're excited that we have a whole new group of people who are going through this time of training together. And we're encouraging all of our leaders, all of those who are considering leadership, even if you're not holding a position currently, that you have an opportunity to get involved in this institute. And even if there are visitors who want to be a part of that, you can look at our website at anointedtemple.org. And there is some information there where you can register. And it will start this Thursday at 6 p.m. And the modules last about an hour and 15 minutes. And so we're going to start with the leadership module this Thursday. And there's information on the screen now that will direct you to register if you haven't already. And this is going to be an exciting time together, myself, Lady Kim, Dr. Qualis, Dr. Butler, and Evangelist Patterson will be providing leadership over those various modules, and we're excited about the workshops that will be attached to them as well, and we're looking forward to developing and nurturing and building up new leaders, and after which we will have a gift inventory that will happen that will kind of guide and give people perspective on how they can use their gift in the body of Christ and how they can be effective in ministry at Anointed Temple of Praise. And so we are looking forward to this, and we know that those who have signed up, you're going to be in for a treat, and you'll be better than you were going in when you come out on the other side. And so we might even include a fasting piece in there, as I was meditating today and thinking about that. And so we'll talk more about that on Thursday in terms of what that will look like. But it's important that if we're going to be representative of the God that we serve, and if we're going to lead with excellence, and if we're going to lead in a space and in a place that represents God, then we need to be prepared, and we need to present God our very best. And so that's what we're attempting to do. Dr. Qualis is really kind of like, I guess, what would we call her in terms of the overarching position over? She's like the dean. so to speak, over the
Dean over the institute.
That's right. And that just came, dropped down like that right here, boom. And so she's doing an excellent job in preparing all the materials and making sure that we stay the course, and giving us instructions in terms of what to expect and contacting all of those who are signed up. And you'll see that she's changed the title already. So that let you know that she's on point, but there's some information right there. If you just click on that, it will be helpful if you even want to just, sign up. And I'm telling you, if you sign up, you're going to want to go through the whole thing now. And so go ahead and register tonight so that we can have adequate count and adequate preparation for what we're going to do on Thursday.
Amen.
Anything else you want to add to that,
Lady? Not that I can think of.
Okay.
I'm excited our next cohort.
All right. That's right. Dean, come on. Somebody say Dean Seymour. That's got a nice ring to it. Mm-hmm. She's the dean of the institute. Thank you, Brother Al, for that. All right. Well, any prayer requests that we might have from anybody? This is the crowd I want to hang out with right here. Mm-hmm. They have no requests. They have no issues. And anybody want to ask God to give you some wisdom? Anybody
Amen.
Praying for wisdom tonight?
Wisdom and knowledge.
And knowledge.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right.
Wisdom and knowledge.
A dean that serves. Okay. A servant and a dean. All right. Well, we already have some standing requests that we can mention, Lady Kim, as we prepare to close out. We're closing out a little early tonight. But we do encourage those, again, who have not signed up for the Institute for Leadership Training to make sure you sign up. There's information there on the screen where you can go ahead and do that tonight. And we're looking forward to that. That's going to be Thursday at 6 p.m. And we praise God for what he's going to do through that institute.
Amen. Amen. Sister Lavonia said, please pray and give her guidance in her situation in the Jones home. Amen. Everybody's asking for Dalem wisdom.
That's right.
And knowledge.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it. That's it.
That's what we all need. We want to continue to lift up Brother Martez Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We're mm-hmm. asking God for his total healing.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're asking for Brother James Shotwell's total healing.
That's
He's
right.
still in Methodist Hospital. We want to lift up Sister Lena Jackson for her total healing. We also want to lift up Sister Lena Jackson and the loss of her niece. That funeral was on last Thursday. And also for Sister Pat Lifford in the loss of her sister. And that funeral is on this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to lift those up in prayer. We just want to thank God for thank God for those little children who were found in the rainforest. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for sparing their lives. Sister Jessica says, pray for her daughter as she has surgery tomorrow. Sister Jessica, would you mention her name so we can call her name in prayer? Amen. And we just thank God for that. We want to continue to lift up Anointed Temple of Praise. We pray that God send more laborers into the vineyard.
That's right. That's right.
We need more laborers. Every church needs laborers. But we have a work that we have been called to do. And so we ask God to send more laborers. We pray for our young people and the crime. Yasmin. Thank you. Yasmin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thank God for that. We will be lifting up Yasmin.
Okay.
All right.
Well, if there are no other requests, Lady Kim, would you go ahead and close us out tonight?
Yes, let us pray. God, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. We pause at this time, God, just to thank you for all that you've done in our lives, you're doing. And we know, oh God, as we continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help, there are more blessings that are to come. We pray tonight, God, for those who are sick. We pray for Sister Yasmin as she prepares for surgery on tomorrow. We ask that you would be the hand of the surgeon, God, the hand of the surgeon in that operating room, God. We ask, oh God, that you would give her anesthetists and nurses that will be kind and gracious and attend to her needs in a special way. God, we ask a special healing blessing for Brother Martez Jones, Brother James Shotwell, Sister Lena Jackson, and all the others that are on our sick and shut-in list. We pray for peace for Sister Pat Lifford and the loss of that sister, Sister Lena Jackson, and the loss of that niece. We know that the sting of death can be great, but we know, God, that the peace and the serenity of your everlasting arms can hold them and keep them in this time of bereavement. So we thank you today, God. God, we ask that you would send more laborers into the vineyard, for we know that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we pray that you, God, send them from the north, the south, and the east, and the west.
Yes, God.
And we'll be mindful to give you the praise and glory for the work, the great work that is to be done in the vineyard called Anointed Temple of Praise. So we thank you, God. We bless you, God. We thank you for those children who were found safe in the rainforest. God, we ask that you would renew their strength, oh God. And we thank you for those who search for them and look for them diligently until they found them. We love you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
All right. It is so. So we praise God for each of you tonight, and we hope that you have a blessed rest of the evening as you prepare for what yet lies ahead. And many of you have asked God for wisdom, and we hope and pray that God will give you the wisdom that you need, discernment that you need in order to please him, the same that he did for Solomon. That's the same God who's well able to do it for you.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining tonight.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.